We're with Carmen, and the name of your shop is?
Curiosity Shop and Retro House Design.
You're a relatively new owner?
I am. It's been, I would say, just over a year.
And how are you finding it?
I love it. Yeah, I actually had no idea that I would be buying a business. It just sort of all came about quite by fluke. But I was looking for another creative endeavor, because I was previously a professional photographer, a commercial photographer in Vancouver and Los Angeles. As an artist, it's actually quite difficult to find a career that you can earn a living at. So I was quite panicked and looking for something else that I could do. I thought, what else can I do? I've always been an entrepreneur. I've always had my own businesses. What will I do? And I tried different things. I thought about teaching and education and a variety of things, but I'm so happy that this came about because it's perfect.
You're not from the Shoe Swap?
No, not originally. My parents moved here in the early 80s, and I moved to Vancouver at the time. I'm originally from Kamloops and lived there, graduated from Kamloops.
So you are
interior girl. Yeah.
What brought you to the Shoe Swap recently?
Well, the original reason was the pandemic, actually. I was living in Los Angeles, and when the pandemic hit, I would say it was earlier in California at the time, and it was people were panicking more. Like, it was quite intense there, and I was concerned if I didn't leave, I wouldn't get a flight. Stuck there! But I actually thought that it would just be maybe 2 months or so. I'll hide out at my parents' place, the same community, 2 or 3 months max. So I brought a suitcase, and then that was it. And then almost 2 years later, I was still here. Once I realized that I wasn't able to go back in 3 months, I actually had to sublet my place with all my belongings there, and I had to do it online. And it was so challenging and quite scary because I didn't know who the people were that were in my home, and I just didn't feel safe to travel at that time. So the longer that I was here, the more I realized that I had to keep myself busy and earn some money if possible. So I started restoring vintage furniture and painting and redesigning it. And that was originally why I came down here, because I was actually looking for furniture. And then when I was talking to Joyce, the original owner, she said, well, why don't you buy the business and you can restore your furniture here? And I thought, that's not a bad idea. So originally I thought about just renting the space as a place to do my furniture. And then I thought, you know what? I've always loved vintage and antiques since I was a teenager. And I've always been an entrepreneur, had my own businesses, and maybe this is the path that I should be taking. So it just, everything aligned perfectly for once. and it was at that time too, I had recently gone through a breakup, so I had so much energy. But I just wanted to focus on something. I mean, I don't think that I could have had the same amount of energy now, but I was just worked for hours. I had some amazing volunteers too that had helped me. I couldn't have done it without them. Yeah, very long answer to your question.
You've done quite a lot of renovation in here now.
Yeah, we almost kind of gutted the place. We sort of wanted to start just fresh, like just an empty shell almost, and then start to layer, you know, put new layers on it. I kind of had a vision that I wanted it to look more like an artist's loft. And then that was my biggest challenge. How do you make an underground space bright? So there was a lot of kind of tricks. My photography background came in handy with lighting. So there was a lot of lighter colors and reflection and lamps. And I also had a wonderful friend who came in with a friend of his that was an electrician. He had come in and he had given his time for no charge and the electricity. I was dealing with, I would say about three plugs in the entire space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I needed quite a lot more electrical outlets.
Yeah, because I was noticing the number of lamps and things you have in here. There's quite a bit.
Yeah, and that, you start with your top lighting, mm-hmm. which is the first thing I did, actually, because it was fluorescent, older fluorescent lighting. And so we got rid of all of those, replaced it with LED lights, and then you pop in ambient light, you know, to kind of fill in all the spaces.
I think you've done a good job. It's fairly bright in here.
Yeah, it's
for a place with no windows.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without the help of the volunteers. They're amazing. That's what I love about a small town. I'm not used to living in a small town, but I love the community. Mm-hmm. People are so supportive of one another, and it's just something that I'm not used to. And so I was quite amazed, the generosity of people.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
In the small town?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I growing up in Kamloops, there were certain things that I remember. I was like, okay, no, maybe not as anonymous, which I did like that in the big city. But it has, you know, has the pros and cons, and it feels very welcoming, and it feels almost like a extended family. Just amazing.
What kind of things do you sell in here?
A good question. How long do you have? Quite a long list. I wanted to focus more on vintage items. I do have antique, and an antique being anything older than 100 years old. And then anything newer than 100 is considered vintage. And also there's the word retro, which kind of fits into newer, it's almost like newer vintage. So 90s would be considered, believe it or not, I'm not going to say vintage, retro, so that'd be more retro. So I want to incorporate more retro and vintage. And then there's a few antiques. I wanted the store to be more of a modern version of an antique store, if that makes any sense. So the items that I sell are, there's a vast amount of items, but I try to focus more on items that you can reuse. So repurposing is really important to me. The environment is huge. Clothing, and the clothing that they made before. I mean, you can't compare the quality. I mean, it surpasses most of what's made today. I mean, just by when you see all the clothing that's still available from 50 years ago, for example, 20 years ago. Sustainable items, art, decor. I guess I'm heavily influenced by decor, design as well. Jewelry. I love jewelry. And
there's
records.
Housewares, kitchenwares.
A little bit of furniture.
Oh, and of course, the furniture. Mm-hmm. My goodness, yes, of course. I focus the back room more on furnishings and furniture, so larger items in the back. And then, of course, some of my pieces of furniture I have in the store. I'm probably going to sell more of that online, though. Maybe bring in more furniture that I have not designed.
You have an online presence.
I do. I have another business account, Instagram, and that I use for my furniture. I have about 4 pieces in the store that are mine.
Do you still take consignments? As I believe Joyce did.
I do. I have probably about 40% of the items in the store are consignees, and the rest are items that I buy. And I like to shop outside of the area. So I will shop in the U.S. and the coast. I have items that I'll buy. So people will phone me or come in, and they have collections from their parents or grandparents or their own collections that they've had for years. And so I'll often buy a big amount of those items. So it's kind of a combination. And I find that when I do that, I have a good variety of items in the store. I had a lot of fun on my holiday in Los Angeles. I bought a lot of clothing, vintage clothing, that I brought back with me. So that's really been fun. And I had a shirt yesterday that was in the store for about 2 hours, and it sold, and it was from the 80s. It's kind of like a Tom Selleck men's shirt. And the fellow that bought it, he looked fabulous. He even almost had a Tom Selleck mustache. So it was great. Yeah.
So what are the challenges you faced apart from lighting.
We talked about that extensively. The alley. Keeping the alley clean has been a big challenge. I usually try to clean it every morning when I arrive. And sweeping after the winter, there's a huge amount of sand. So that's been quite a challenge, is sweeping, and then I'll sweep not just our parking lot, but kind of extend it outwards just to try to make the alley look inviting.
We should clarify where your location actually is.
Oh, right. A mystery location.
Yes.
I realize that it's probably a destination location because of where I am. So I am in the alley behind PharmaSafe. And there are footprints that were here originally, and I thought that's such a brilliant idea. We had power washed the area, and then we repainted a different color last year when I opened. And I almost thought that I might have fun with the footsteps again, either paint them a different color every year or change the footsteps and just do something like that. Extend them outward a little bit more. I sort of snuck a few out a little bit farther than they were last time. But that's helped. You would not believe how many people say, oh, I saw the footsteps. And then I'll ask them, well, did you see my bike or the sign? Like, oh, I saw the footsteps. So they really make a difference. Yeah, and so I'm trying to improve the alley as much as I can just to make it, again, more inviting.
And what hours are you open?
I go back and forth about my hours. I'm trying not to change them, trying to keep them consistent. So far in the last year, I'm open Wednesday through to Saturday, so 10 to 4. And on Saturdays, I'm going to be open an hour later, so 10 to 5. And I'm possibly going to be open on Tuesdays during the tourist season. An extra day. I wanted to have some extra days available for my furniture, working on those pieces.
Do you still find time to do your photography?
That's a good question. You know, I put my professional laptop away for a year, and this is a classic. Okay, my laptop is also vintage. I bought it in 2008. It was a really expensive professional Mac. I had this screen changed to a matte screen, and I loved it. And I think about 2 weeks ago, I thought, you know what? I'm going to turn that sucker on and take a look at some of my files. And it wouldn't start. I thought, oh, no, it's been that long. My last shoot that I did, it was a request from an old friend of mine. It was in the States, and he needed portraits done of some musicians. So I went back last year and did a portrait session. And that has been it so far. But I did have a client reach out, a client that I photographed 20 years ago. And she found me online, tracked me down. And she's asked if I would come back to Vancouver. But I'm not sure. It felt really great to shoot last year. So I may do that. I may sort of occasionally do a shoot here and there. But with how technology is changing and you're always having to invest, that's where I wonder if I will or not, if I'll continue or not. But all my years just sort of stored away. And then I think it's probably like riding a bike. You know, you've done it so long, but you always get fearful because you haven't done something for so long. Well, I remember how my camera works.
There's a lot of photographers that are down by the lake, particularly during the bird season.
Oh, nature photographer.
Nature photographers.
And yeah.
Seems to be quite a draw here for photographers.
I thought about teaching photography. Actually, I did teach, but I was teaching teens and children. But, you know, with a store now, I just have such little time. But when I was shooting, I was mainly a portrait, people-based or fashion. I never was really drawn to nature photography. I just loved photographing people, you know? This was more my thing, I guess. I was just really interested in...
You could do all your inventory with your camera.
I do, although with my phone. I'm like the worst iPhone photographer. But knowing lighting certainly helps. I thought, but my camera, it's heavy. I mean, it would be overkill. If I could afford it, I would love to have a studio outside of the shop. And then I would probably do some, well, probably wouldn't do photography. I'd probably focus more still on the furniture. I love the idea of shooting in natural light or working in natural light.
What sort of unusual items have you seen come through here that
Oh, that's a great great question. Well, the top of my head, because I was talking about it yesterday, was an armadillo purse. And this particular one had a little face and the paws on it. And it was, I couldn't have it in the store. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm vegetarian. I cannot have this in my store. But I do have another one that does not have the face on it.
Was it a real armadillo?
It was.
Hide or something?
Yes. And it was the real thing. It was a real, yeah.
It's kind of sweet and very, very sad at the same time.
I know. More of items that I didn't know their usage that I've come in the store, which I found really interesting. But I can't think of something quickly enough.
Do you ever get any musical instruments?
I did, actually. I did have some in the store. And the two of them that I had in here sold, and then the other one that I actually gave back, they were on consignment. And they were quite old. I guess one of the things, too, that I really wanted to do in the store is I wanted to create a really fun, cool shopping experience. You know, something that you don't normally see in a smaller town, perhaps. Things that I saw when I was traveling. I actually lived in a lot of major cities years ago, like Berlin, for example. This was such a long time ago, but and I will never forget it. I walked into, I think it was a bar, though. I don't think it was a store. And I looked up, and the ceiling was a fish tank. The entire ceiling of the place was a live fish tank, and it was just incredible. And this, I think, was a retail store. The floor was made of sand. You walked in and it was all sand. So all these tactile sensory experiences, I think, are really incredible. And I'm hoping to try to incorporate some of those things. And if I had an unlimited budget, I probably have like a video screen in the background with all the older videos playing with the music that I'm playing in the store too. But for now, I'll just play my records and my turntable, and all the music that I play in the store is older music, so it's nothing really past the 80s. I have to be authentic.
How do people contact you? Apart from walking in, you have a phone, email address.
I have an Instagram account. It's curiosityshop_salmonarm. And by telephone, the store has a phone number, has a Facebook page. Just Google the store name. You get all the information as well. So
the Curiosity Shop or Retro?
Both, actually. Curiosity Shop and Retro House Design. It's a lot. Maybe at some point I'll just shorten it to the Retro or something, but we'll see how that goes.
Did you find the fires last year affected your business at all, as far as the smoke goes? I mean, obviously, if smoke comes in here, it's going to sit here for a bit.
Yeah. You know, I've been asked that question, too, and I've talked to other shop owners. I don't know what to compare it to. I don't really know. I was asking some of the other businesses in town, and they said, yeah, that it's definitely impacted their businesses because there weren't as many tourists. And I was wondering, I was thinking, where are all the tourists that everybody's talking about? But again, I don't really know what to compare it to, but I do think that it can be busier, but I was actually quite happy with the amount of people that have been coming into the store. I do a lot of marketing and with the new signs and things like that. I think that's drawn people in, articles.
We've heard two things from business owners, and one is that the market, the downtown market, is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
The other business we spoke to said that it was actually detrimental to his business.
Isn't that interesting? I also was talking to another shop owner about that. For me, it definitely helps. And that is, again, because I'm in the alley. The only time it hinders the business is when they move more to the parking lot, because what they do is they have their back to the entrance of my alley, and it's blocked off. So you can't actually see my signs to the store. So that's when I bring out the balloons and things like that. So I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And I used to have a sign by the market as well. I'm thinking about all those ideas, balloons and flashing arrow with lights on it and things like that. I've joked with a couple of friends and said, oh, you can, like on Breaking Bad, you can, the show Breaking Bad, I'll get you to wear a costume and you can flip sign around to walk around the city. But I find that it's helped because it does bring a crowd of people in, and people do see the sign, and then they, even if they are just coming to shop. I suppose people were maybe concerned about parking and maybe that being an issue for them. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I would love to see a parkade built, an extra parking lot built downtown. Think that would bring more people, because a lot of the people that work downtown, I don't think they have parking, so it would be great if they could figure something out with the parking situation. I do have a parking spot for customers, which
one
help. I have one coveted spot for parking.
What was it like moving from Los Angeles to a small town like Salmon Arm?
Honestly, no. I think because I visited here for years, I knew kind of what to expect. And I was really worried about that, to be honest, because I thought, what am I going to do? And will I be bored and not stimulated? But because of the store, I think that that's really helped. And again, because of the community, I've felt that I'm not alone. Like, it's such a nice feeling. People come in and I recognize them and they feel like they're a friend. So that certainly had helped. And as long as I am able to get away once or twice, two or three times a year, then I kind of fill that void again and re-energize the city vibe. But I'm so busy at the store here, I don't really have a lot of time to do too many things. So I just try to focus on the store and then look forward to a trip to Vancouver and or Los Angeles. I don't know, with like the music playing, and I'm always busy in here, and enough people come in. So I will look at the clock and all of a sudden it's 4 o'clock. You know, I never feel bored in here. I am looking forward to warmer weather so that I can keep my door open. I do like to have that, you know, bit of air and the light coming in.
Is this a separate building from Sanctuary Games?
It is, yeah. Even though it looks like it's connected, there's a little tiny space kind of in between it. You can see it when you walk, when you leave the alley, you can see their downstairs space as you walk. It's at the very entrance of the alley.
And you have the Masonic Hall above you.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there isn't an address here. And talk about challenges. Where are you located? Well, I really do exist, although there's no address. Because if I give people the address at the front, it makes no sense because they can't enter the store. So I always have to say behind PharmaSave, and I've used that address because then on Google Maps, it actually brings people to the alley. So that has, I think, made a big difference than having the actual front of the store. They would never find it. So just little tricks like that.
I think when I first found the store years ago, it was the footprints that brought me down.
Footprints, yeah.
And the sandwich board.
Yeah. Yeah, sandwich boards are key.
Is there anything that you would like the people of Salmon Arm to know about your store?
I suppose it's not your typical antique store. And I actually don't even want to use the word antique, so I'll use vintage store. Or maybe it's more like a vintage store than an antique store. And that wanting to create a kind of more of an interesting shopping experience.
I know you wanted to give a shout out.
I wanted to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the volunteers that have helped me in the last couple of years, starting with my dear friend Jim Olofsson and my friend Dave Lyons, Don Quilty, Dave from Triumph Electric, and my friend Kevin, and I do not know his last name. Well, oh, and then my dear friend Cliff. But if I'm missing anyone, please forgive me. But again, a huge thank you to all of the people that made this happen. I would not have been able to do it without them.
And again, that speaks to the sense of community in Salmon Arm, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. They were, well, there were two people in this list that were friends of friends, but the others, they were customers. So be careful. You could be volunteering and you don't know it yet. So yeah, that it does. It does really speak to that sense of community and wanting to help.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks you so much. Gosh, I feel like next time I'll have some coffee and some pastries. We can sit outside.